Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Luke 15, verses 1 through 10, titled Rejoicing in Heaven. Many believers carelessly claim that angels rejoice over one sinner who repents, and the Bible is clear that the rejoicing is in the presence of the angels. And this may sound like a small matter at first, but heresy begets heresy, and this one small error has led some folks into greater error and greater misunderstanding about heaven and what awaits us when we die or after we are raptured. And as you listen, you may want to send us your own questions, comments, or prayer requests. Those can be sent to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can send those along with any check or money order contributions to this ministry, addressed to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate by going to bbfohio.com and using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or by using the drop-down menu if you are using the mobile site at bbfohio.com. And please listen and tell others about our 24/7 internet radio station, bbfohioradio.com. And now we begin our study in Luke 15, 1-10, Rejoicing in Heaven. This is part 1 of 2. How many have heard about this measles outbreak in New York? 1 in every 34,000 people have the measles, and it's being called an outbreak. That's true about every disease that exists. New York City has a mandatory measles vaccination now. State law. Children's Health Defense looks forward to the opportunity to have a neutral arbitrator because the New York City Commissioner of Health declared a public health emergency yesterday, ordering all people who live, work, or reside in 4 Brooklyn zip codes to be vaccinated with the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, MMR, declared to be, quote, effective and safe. Non-compliance with the order is a misdemeanor subject to criminal and civil fines, including imprisonment. Mayor Bill DeCommunist Blasio warned that residents have 48 hours to get the vaccine or face a $1,000 fine. And only those with documented immunity, medical contraindications, or infants under 6 months are exempt from the vaccine mandate. Now, this order primarily affects Orthodox and Hasidic Jews living in the Williamsburg area of Brooklyn who do not vaccinate because it violates their core religious beliefs. But unless your core religious beliefs are liberal, they don't care. Now, that is the same kind of thing that happened in Nazi Germany. And they picked on the Jews for every little thing that the Jews didn't believe in, that the Nazi regime believed in. And they're doing that here in America. And with the Nazis, it was anybody. But they particularly seemed to pick on the Jews. And that's the way it is here in America. Liberals are picking on Mike Pence because he's a Christian. The homo mayor of whatever butt gig or whatever his name is, Buttigieg, or what's his last name? Peter Buttigieg. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know who I'm talking about? The mayor, that he's a homo, he's married to a man.
Where is this?
In America.
He wants to run for president.
He's run for president. And, you know, he and all the, they're all coming after Chick-fil-A. And how many of you knew that the Southern Poverty Law Center has this church ministry listed as a hate group? Do you hear me?
Unless we do it
Pay attention. How many of you knew that this SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, has put this church on their hate map? Why? Because we are opposed to the LGBTQ movement. That tells you something about all the other churches around here. Why aren't they on there? Why aren't all the other churches on there? And it's not just liberals. This is Michael Savage, who is right on some things. He calls these parents, these anti-vaxxer parents, he calls them, hold measles parties to give their kids the deadly virus so they can become immune. Michael Savage, you're a liar. Measles is not deadly, and if you believe that, you're a sucker. Measles is not deadly. Here's why I'm opposed to the measles vaccine, and so are the Orthodox and Hasidic Jews. The MMR vaccine is manufactured using WI-38 human diploid lung fibroblasts obtained from murdered babies. Do you understand that? When you get an MMR, you're being injected with dead baby tissue. Murdered babies. May God not have mercy on them. They're killing babies and they're harvesting their organs and tissue. And your Republican rhino, Paul Ryan types are just as blood guilty as anybody in this country. That ought to be the state flag of New York right now. They want to kill the babies if they're born and no one wants them. And they want to take them and harvest their organs like a bunch of Nazis. Nazi York. Children's Health Defense is supporting a legal challenge to this dangerous, unprecedented overreach, while the city has unquestionable authority to control disease outbreaks. That's true. It may not violate the bedrock principle of prior, free, and informed consent to all medical interventions, including vaccines. This is a fundamental human right that they're violating. The city may quarantine, isolate, trace contacts, and strongly urge vaccination, but it may not impose such a draconian, and may I say liberal Nazi, mandate without demonstrating necessity, reasonableness, proportionality, harm avoidance, non-discrimination, due process, and equal protection. And the commissioners failed to do this. The city's actions violate New York state law and the Constitution. But it's all a big test run. They're seeing if they can make all the sheeple obey. Will the sheeple obey? It's prepping you. Because it's coming a day when he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. And if that's what we think it might be, it'll be a shot, just like your vaccines implanting. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. Listen to this. A review of claims submitted to the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Now let me explain what that is. The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is a government program using your money to pay for people who are killed or injured by vaccines. Big Pharma is a protected entity. You can't sue them. If your kid gets a vaccine and goes brain dead, you can't go after the vaccine company. You have to go to this banana court. It's sick. And they looked at the claims submitted to that court, and 48 cases of encephalopathy following that MMR vaccine And of those, 8 children died. So 8 children died getting the MMR vaccine. If you watch the news, they'll never tell you that. It's fake, scripted news. They will never tell you that vaccine kills people. And of the other 40, they had mental regression and retardation, chronic seizures, motor and sensory deficits, and movement disorders. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of people, and I believe it's into the millions of Americans today, whose immune system is out of whack, and I may be one of them. You suffer autoimmune disease. It was triggered by all the vaccines they pumped you full of. When they give that vaccine to you, it is to trigger your immune system and make it work. And when you do that without any balance, and they're shooting these kids up with vaccines by the dozens, and it throws your whole system out of whack. Screws up your immune system. 8 deaths, 40 with mental retardation, etc. Now look at this. I want you to look at this right here at the bottom. This is from the CDC. This isn't antivax.org or any of those. This is your government admitting this. The last measles death in the United States occurred in 2015. You are being made to believe this is like Michael Savage, the liar, is telling people this is a deadly virus. Hasn't killed anybody since 2015. You know what year it is? Going on 4 years, not a single American has died of the measles. And that's called deadly. You know how many U.S. veterans kill themselves every year? 6,000. 24,000 U.S. veterans have killed themselves since the last measles victim. And your stupid, scripted, fake, lying news media won't tell anybody that. Makes me sick. This is a statement of fact. The vaccine is more deadly than the disease. The measles vaccine is more deadly than the measles. Go out. I could show it, but we're limited on time. We're going to have a Bible study tonight. You can go Google it and look it up. Look up the Brady Bunch. When I was a kid, they had an episode on the measles. Went through the whole house. It's like, oh man, you got the measles. And yeah, well, go to your room and get in your pajamas. And then they sat around playing Monopoly. Because that's what it was like in our family. Now, of course, with every disease, you're going to have some people who get sick and die. That happens with every disease. It's called proportionality. It's called not being insane, and it's also called not being a sucker. The city is requiring, this is what it's all about. How many of you know, if it don't make sense, there's a buck in it. The city is requiring that people receive Merck's MMR vaccine. Merck is what it's about. Even though the outbreak is only for measles, you've got to get MMR. You're being vaccinated for 3 things because they can make more money. Mumps and rubella, in addition to measles. That's what it's all about. The Bible tells you that. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? That's why when you hear these sayings, you know, if it don't make sense, there's a buck in it. If you want to know what's behind all this, chase the money trail. That all comes back to the scripture. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, that's just food for thought there. I just want to say this. I say this over and over, because when you turn on the news, if you turn on the news and you believe what you're seeing without scrutinizing it, you're not being an obedient Christian. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1:1. And the Bible is clear that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We are to use biblical discernment And also, not just Bible, but when they say it's a fact, check them out and see if it's a fact. And if we could just get everybody in this country to have that attitude, things would change in a great way. Here's another example. I was watching the Israeli elections last night, and I saw that Gantz beat Netanyahu. Then I turned on Fox Business, and they were reporting that Netanyahu and Gantz had both declared victory. And official reports at that time was saying that it was too close to call. I went back and they changed the headline from Gantz beats Netanyahu to Gantz versus Netanyahu, unclear who won. It reminded me, you remember the newspaper, Dewey beats Truman in 1948? Yeah. Yeah, Hillary was the winner. I turned on one of the, I can't remember exactly which one, but I turned one on. They weren't calling what they were doing election results. They had a thing, how big will Hillary win? That was what the, and then they ended up having to report she didn't win at all.
Did you show us this?
Yeah.
Did you show us the clips where like everyone was really sad as they were watching Hillary not win?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Johnny, anytime I'm feeling a little down, I go on the internet and look that up and watch election night. It's so such an edification, you know. It's
also the one that you showed up where the wicked witch and the...
Yeah, I kind of find that, Mark.
That was beautiful.
So there's the real headline.
Amen.
And I say praise the Lord.
Amen. There.
Benjamin Netanyahu wins his fifth term. And the blue and white heads concede defeat to Netanyahu, but vow to stay together. You know what you do to a whitehead? Pop it. Now, this is important because of what Kim brought up earlier. She asked, you know, what's a Zionist and why are people anti-Zionist? And a Zionist, you may not know, but if you're all dispensational Bible believers, you're a Zionist. You believe that Israel has a right to exist. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Then you're a Zionist. And as we go further into apostasy, we're seeing more and more of the churches who used to stand with Israel who are now turning against them and turning against you. And they are anti-Zionist and they blast the Christians all the time. And this is, I mean, there are, of course, we've had whole messages on this, but Romans 11, 1 and 2, Paul said, I say then. I love it. You know, the King James English translated by Englishman. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people. And you go, just read through Romans 11 and Genesis 12. You see, Genesis 12 is where he promised. And Romans 11 is how he explains what's going to all work out. And he says in Romans 11 that all Israel shall be saved. Well, wait a minute. If the church is Israel, we're already saved, aren't we? See how easy it is to just blow that nonsense apart? If Israel shall be saved, then obviously the church isn't Israel. Because the church is saved. That's what makes you the church. So we stand with Israel, amen?
Amen?
We stand with our president, we stand with their prime minister. And when they're wrong, like Netanyahu, he's a little too cozy with the LGBTQ, and I'll say, you know, what I need to say about that. And Trump has got his son-in-law over there trying to get a peace deal with Land for Peace. I hope it blows up. I support the president, but I don't support him when he's wrong, amen? Why? Well, because Genesis 12, as I said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Bible promise. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's have a word of prayer before we get into our Bible study. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Pray that everyone can focus and take it in and understand that these studies, even if it's not something pressing on them at this moment, there's so much error out there. We need to learn the truth so that we can recognize the error. We ask for your help as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, like I said, we're in Luke 15. We're going to talk about rejoicing in heaven. And we're going to start by reading those first 10 verses. And we're going to ask you to read the even. I'll read the odd, starting with verse 1, and you jump in on the even. And if you don't want to know what I mean by that, just follow the guy next to you. Verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders in rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Now, that's a wonderful thing to think about, amen?
Amen.
But there's a lot of carelessness, I believe. And so I just want to zoom in on a few verses here, what we're reading. Look at verse 6. Who is called on to rejoice there? When he cometh home, he calleth together what? His what?
Friends
and neighbors. So it's people, right? People. Now, look at verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Here it just says where there is rejoicing. And where is that? In heaven. Okay, now look at verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I want you to look close at that verse. Are angels rejoicing? Look at the verse. What's it say there? The rejoicing is in their presence. Now, it's not that difficult. I mean, it's just, does it say that the angels are rejoicing?
No.
It doesn't. But that's what almost all the quotes, pictures, and sermons on this text will tell you that the angels are rejoicing. Now, here's a little reality check. Who would these saints have been at this time? Jesus is saying this. He says there is joy in the presence of the angels. And I believe it's the saints that are rejoicing. It's not the angels, and I believe it's. But who would have been there rejoicing? And I think it's. Let me spell flood correctly. You gonna name your baby then? Glued Smith. The pre-flood and possibly also pre-Mosaic saints. Now, here's one of the reasons I say that. If you look, you remember Enoch. It says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now, I've said this as we've studied this question over the years. I'm 99.9% sure of my understanding that the Jews under the Mosaic law, when they died, they went to Abraham's bosom. I should say I'm 100%. Because Jesus said so. Luke 16, that's what he says. But before God established his covenant, you have scenes like this. I don't think that Enoch walked with God and God took him and then dropped him off and then went to heaven. See what I'm saying? And we don't have time to run all the references, but there's also appears to possibly be other exceptions. And I've always wondered, why didn't God mention, Jesus didn't mention Moses, he mentioned Abraham. And then and Elijah. Elijah went up in a chariot. So what's that all about? And so even you have before the Mosaic law, then you have Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah show up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And at that time, the Old Testament saints under the Mosaic law, we know, were in the middle, in the center of the earth, where Abraham's bosom is, the paradise. See what I'm saying? You have to follow me. So who were these people rejoicing in heaven? Who was rejoicing in the presence of the angels? Why was there joy in the presence of the angels? I believe because there were these saints who were before the Mosaic law, and possibly some exceptions, even including Moses and Elijah, under the law. They may have been the only two exceptions. We don't know. We're not told a whole lot. But look at this in Job. Job was before the Mosaic law. The book of Job shows up, it almost looks like it's in the middle of the Old Testament, but it's actually the oldest book in the Bible. And the oldest book in the Bible has this story that about these people who were in Genesis called the Edomites. And Job 19, wonderful passage here, verse 25 through 27. And I love this. There aren't very many contemporary songs I like, and I can't remember the woman's name, is a female singer. She said, I know my Redeemer lives. You remember that song? And I believe it's based on this text.
When I first got it, when I first became really reading the Bible, I was looking for a job.
Go to the book of Job. Huh? Yes, that's what he was saying. He was, when he was first saved, he needed a job. So verse 25, read that with me. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So, Job, who, as I said, read before, lived before the book of Genesis was given, he had this idea of being with God, and it does seem to almost have a... you have to understand there's progressive revelation in the Bible. You and I have the complete Bible. When Job said that, there were no books of the Bible yet. So Job is going on the progressive revelation you receive from God. Now as we go forward, more and more information is given to us, so we have the, the privilege of being able to look at the whole thing. I mean, what's in the book of Revelation? Before it was given, much of it didn't show up anywhere else in the Bible. So some see this as having application only to saved sinners during the church age, as far as this